All right, everybody. Welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. I want to thank God for all of you who are able to make it here to church today. Sure is good to see some of you guys back. It sure is good to see our visitor. We got Brother Artie all the way from Hemet. Amen. Plug in. Fantastic landscape service. Fantastic haircuts. Anything. Fantastic. You can have a fantastic day with Brother Fuentes. With Brother Artie Fuentes, amen. Jumpers, fantastic jumpers, amen. All right, but he'll probably charge a little bit more to come all the way down to Oceanside. But anyways, guys, there were some quick announcements here before we get started. Praise God for those of you who were here from our last week. We let you know that last Saturday was canceled from going to Imperial Beach due to the weather. Brother Angel wanted to postpone it. So as of now, tentatively, our next trip to go help evangelize in Solwyn is going to be next Saturday to go help out the church in Imperial Beach. So I just want to let you guys know, if you're able to make your Saturday available, I know some of you guys didn't go to PE or didn't do as much running, right, Antonio? That was a blessing. He said he was ready, amen. So next Saturday, I'm not trying to tell you to ditch, brother, amen, but I'm just telling you, take it easy on the track, amen. Next Saturday, tentatively, as of now, Brother Angel said that we're going to reschedule to go help out door-to-door. We're going to go help out, pass out door hangers. Some of you guys who have not been with us soul winning at all this year, come on out. Let's get going. Let's get serving. Next Saturday, you have an opportunity. So that's the calendar for next Saturday. I will confirm with you, like I normally do, with the Friday Night Discipleship. So I'll let you guys know the Friday before and also the Wednesday. I'll make a call and we'll confirm that. So we will confirm with you so that way you guys can make your guys' schedule available. Amen? So as you guys know, just our reminder verses to provoke y'all in love. Amen? Remember, guys, Hebrews chapter 10, this is the year to serve Jesus. Every day that goes by and you guys are still in your body and you are on this earth, it's because Jesus Christ is not done with you yet. He's still got some work that he wants for you to do. Remember, we've been telling you guys in Hebrews 10, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. So, as the manner of some is, there are Christians who are not going to church, or Christians who are not working. Don't let that be your manner, brother and sister. But as you see each other, let's continue to provoke each other to serve Jesus. Two more verses on this topic. I've been just provoking you guys in love this year. Let's do a little bit more. Ephesians chapter 4. You guys should memorize this by now. Amen. Look with me now. Hebrews chapter 4. The Bible says now in verse number 12. After you got saved, he gave you a church. He gave you a pastor. Gave you the Holy Spirit. Gave you the Holy Bible to instruct you for what? It says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then one more, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all the way down to the last verse. Remember, guys, we are just trying to stir you up to work for Jesus this year. Amen. Look at what it says here, all the way to the last verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the what? Work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So 2023, some of y'all haven't done much in 2022. You can start today. You can purpose in your heart to say, Brother Carlos, I'm stirred. I want to work for Jesus. I'll be there next Saturday for Solon. I'll be there next Thursday for the downtown outreach. I'll be there, Brother Carlos. And then if you have a desire, as you start to avail yourself for evangelism, maybe God puts it on your spirit to want to start an after-school program or to want to do something else, and I'll come along your side and I'll help you do it. Why? Because he's coming back soon. So as we see the day approaching, it's my job to get you going, get you working for Jesus Christ. All right, so back to the announcements real quick. We just want to let you guys know that. Study blogs, you guys already know, these are just opportunities for you guys to read some different articles. We've been going over a few of them for our Friday Night Discipleship class about the Book of Life or the Book of the Living. So guys, avail yourself. They're there for your studies to help you to learn and grow in your faith. If you have any questions, you guys can always call me, text me. Live stream links, you guys already know. Social media, don't be shy. Subscribe, like, and share. We got Facebook, we got YouTube. We're just pumping out as much Bible as we can get into you the days that we assemble. If you need prayer, I want to encourage you, don't be shy to submit a prayer request right there online. You could do so anonymously or you could do so publicly. But just know, guys, that even though you are going through certain things in your life, there are people around the earth that are going through the same or worse. So sometimes just taking a minute to just pray for else really helps you to have a little bit more peace concerning your current situation. So we got some prayers. there's a lady who's leaking for prayer because, unfortunately, her mother was diagnosed with some Alzheimer's, and then she's going through a divorce. Isn't that sad? So people are asking you for prayer. And I'm just telling you guys, when you begin to pray for someone else and others, what they're going through, it really helps lighten the burden of your own. Amen. So just know we need to be a church of prayer. I'm looking forward to next Wednesday. The very first Wednesday of each month is our prayer service. So please come and join your church. We don't preach. We just spend time in prayer. Amen. So please do that if you can. And then lastly, giving opportunities. If you're a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in whatever you purpose within your heart to give financially for the work of ministry. You guys can do so at any time. We got a box back there. You guys can give between you and the Lord. You can do so online through PayPal as well. Between you and God, just to make sure that it's from your heart. It's whatever you purpose. Remember, God loves a cheerful giver. He's the creator. He doesn't need your pesos. He doesn't need your dollar bills. Amen. He doesn't need the change. Amen. But your church does, and that's what he gave you a command, to help your church, support your church. All right, so you guys can do that anytime between you and God. Other than that, guys, next week we are receiving our prayer cards. I'm not sure if you guys are following along on Facebook, but I ordered prayer cards for our church. So those are other ways you can evangelize. Last Friday, little Gibby saw an example going through the Popeyes ordering, right? I trained him here. Look, just like this, Gibby, you smile, you have a little conversation, and before you go, you say, hey, I just want to leave you a prayer card. Our church wants to pray with you, want to share Jesus with you. And he received the flyer. Remember that, Gibby? So we're going to get those in. You guys can hand them out to people when you're at the store, when you're at the bank, or wherever you're having an interaction with somebody, and you don't want to give them, you know, a little square flyer. It's a little big, kind of, if you will, steals the attention away. A little prayer card, just real quick, slide it in there, and they're in Spanish and English, so you can minister to people that speak Spanish. Amen? So just want to encourage you guys with that. All right, guys, who is excited? Who's glad to be saved? Anybody here glad to be saved? Anybody? All right. God is good. Do me a favor. Turn your Bibles now to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 5. 2 Kings, chapter number 5. Today is a special message day. Amen. Every so often, I get stirred to study it and prepare a message for you concerning the Bible. All the Bible is good. Amen. It's all profitable. It's all available for us to learn. It's all good to instruct us, to provoke us, to teach us, to correct us, to purify us. And today, I want to read this study with you and go through it together from my devotional that I was reading in the book of Jeremiah. And the title of today's message is, When God Says Go and Wash. When God Says Go and Wash. We're going to go over some scriptures today concerning how people were told by God to go wash yourself. And before we close, it is my hope and prayer that you'll see today that God has given you everything you need to cleanse yourself in the area of sin, sinful habits, some things going on, amen, that you guys get dirty throughout the week. Just like when you go to work, you get some stains, you get dirty, you get dusty, right, when you're sanding down those walls or whatever you're doing. What do? You take a shower, you clean yourself, and you get back up. But with spiritual things, with sin, and those things that are on the inside, likewise, God has given you a command to wash yourself. But how do I do that? And with what do I do that? Today, I hope that I can minister to you through this message, Go and Wash. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today's message. Once again, Lord, I just want to ask and pray that you would remove me out of your way. I just want to be a vessel that your Holy Spirit can use to bring the Word of God to your people today. And God, aside from my human error, I pray your Holy Spirit will take the living Word and feed it to each of these, your children, how they need to hear it, how they need to respond to it, God. Lord, if there's anybody here today that is dirty spiritually, if there's anybody here today that has some spots, that has some things from this world, things in their heart, God, Lord, I pray that they would learn today from your mouth how they can clean themselves and how you will respond to them once they do so. And God, if they need help, Lord, here we are. We're here to help each other to do that with the Word of God. So, Father, would you please bring healing, restoration? Would you please bring comfort and conviction to all of us here today so we can look more like Jesus and our desires would be more like his before we leave those doors? That is my hope and prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we have it, 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's start reading together in verse number 1. The Bible says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Great man, great warrior. He was a great soldier, but he was sick, had leprosy. For those of you guys who don't remember what leprosy is, it is a very infectious disease, like boils and things like that, becoming all over your body suddenly. There was no healing for leprosy, by the way. It is an incurable disease. Look at verse 2. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. She waited on Naaman's wife. She was serving that man's wife. She said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." While this little girl is serving her master's wife, she reminds and introduces her of a man of God all the way over there in Samaria who could heal her master's, the husband of her master. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 10,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Guys, that's a big deal for the king of Syria to care so much about this man to be healed. Look at what he sent with him to go to the king of Israel. Some gold and some silver and some clothes. That's how much this man was valued by the king of Syria. Naaman, that is, verse number 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh the quarrel against me." So first, the king of Israel is stressed out because he just had his land invaded by this king. He's like, "Am I God? I can't heal this guy of his pain. There's only God can do that. Or is he trying to trick me? Is he trying to, if you will, seize me?" And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So what's the prophet's name? Elisha. He heard word that the king of Israel got this letter, and now he responded in a manner that was real stressful. But he said, "Hey, king, go ahead and tell that king to send that man so he can know that there's a man of God over here." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Let's go ahead and stop right there. What's today's topic of devotion? When God commands us to go wash ourselves, we ought to do it immediately without resistance, regardless of where he tells us to go, either in some fresh water or some salt water. This man Naaman, he was a valiant man. According to the scripture you guys saw earlier, the Lord used him mightily to bring about deliverance. But during the conquering of Israel's territories, there was a young girl who was amongst the captives. This maiden would be instrumental in God's involvement in Naaman's future healing. While she served her master's wife, she made mention of the prophet that's in Samaria, very excitingly. As for what drove her motivation to want to help this heathen couple, it's a little odd, because she has a heart for the healing of this man, even though this man just conquered her land. You understand? That's a little awkward and it's a little odd. But maybe, just maybe, perhaps her heart towards God was yet tender, even in the midst of servitude toward her captors, to express mercy and long-suffering of her God. You can read that about God's character in Jonah 4:2. So the king of Syria catches wind of the news and writes a letter to the king of Israel for help with this request. Eventually, Naaman went with his company to Elisha's house. And rather than Elisha himself physically engaging with Naaman for personal delivery of a healing, you know, maybe through touch, maybe laying on of his hands or something like that, he sent his messenger. And his messenger just told him simply, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Now, before we read on in the text, how would you feel coming to a man's house, to a nation you held inferior to your nation, to a person whose people you hold captive, for a miracle? Would you be excited? Would you be eager to want to receive this miracle that this man is offering you? Would you come with doubts or concerns as to the potential motive behind such an offer? Well, let's see how Naaman responded. Keep reading on. Verse 11, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Naaman was mad. Why was he upset? Look at what he said there in verse 11. Because I thought. Look at what he says in 12. Are not Arabana, Pharpa, rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in his rage. Naaman complained. He murmured against the directions, but why? Because he came with a prejudice. And what was that? He thought that he should be healed over there versus over here. You know what? Many of us tend to act like Naaman when we ask God for healing for a situation in our life. And whether we are requesting God to heal us from mental faults, spiritual faults, perhaps even physical healing and maybe restoration with God, what catches us off guard is the response we get from God through His Word when God tells us, I want you to go wash over there, not over here. You know, sometimes we too can murmur at why we couldn't do it over here instead of over there. Remember the message that I preached to you Sundays ago about healing, about confessing one to another that ye may be healed? That's an over here situation. You can't be healed with a person you're at odds with if they're over here and they're over there. You got to go to where they're at to be healed. Anybody out there? So sometimes the way God has prescribed for healing from certain situations requires for you and I to step out of our comfort zone and enter into a location that at first glance doesn't seem so comfortable. As a matter of fact, you know what Naaman said? These are dirty waters. I'd rather go wash over there in the better waters. But friend, it's not the water that we are sent to that actually does the healing. It's God. When our faith is coupled with obedience, God can heal us anytime by just simply thinking the thought. But could it be that he's waiting to see if we'll listen to his direction and then obey his voice to go where we don't want, to do the things that we don't want to do, only for us to get the healing in the end because he was also trying to teach you a lesson on the way there? Now, let's keep reading. Verse 13. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Here is a very, very great application that we can gain from Naaman's servants. Naaman's servants, they love Naaman. Look at what they call him. They call him father. They love Naaman. They cared about his leprosy, and they too wanted him to be healed. But you know what Naaman's servants are a type of? They are a type of Christians who are gifted with an increased gift of faith to help you, the faithless Christians, at times in your life. You can read about them in 1 Corinthians 12:9, 1 Thessalonians 3:2, and 2 Corinthians 10:15. I think this is how the body of Christ operates at times. There might be certain brothers or sisters that are gifted with a portion of faith to come into your life to tell you, just listen to what the man is telling you to do. Come on, if the pastor said this, and you would have thought at that moment, wow, that seems agreeable, that seems logical, you would have done it. But if he just tells you to go wash over there, why don't you just do it? Maybe that Christian brother or sister that is trying to come into your life to help you with their portion of faith is really that instrumental encouragement that God is also helping you with in his mercy, because he knows that you can't do it on your own reasoning. Sometimes those Christians that have that extra faith help us to see things from another perspective on how to respond to God's direction for our lives. But now let's come back to the story. The Bible says that he went down in verse number 14. He dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was what? Clean. He got healed. Verse 15, he returned to the man of God. He and all his company came and stood before him and said, behold, Now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. What happened? This man returned, and he wanted to bless this man of God for the thing that he received. What a changed man. But how did this man receive his healing? Because Naaman changed his mind. He changed his mind when he considered what the other servants were telling him to do. After he first changed his mind, I want you to consider this verse from Jonah 3:10. The Bible says there that God saw their works, that they turned their evil way, and God repented of the evil. Naaman changed his mind like the barbarous people on the island of Melita before the Apostle Paul in Acts 28:6. And because of this, God healed him. Because Naaman trusted God's ways versus his own ways. The Bible says, the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every way to find according to his ways. Job 34:11. You know what Naaman found out from deciding to trust the prophet's direction? Like he said earlier, now I know your God is the real God. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:2 that every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. You know, on this day, Naaman chose not to be right in his own eyes, but chose the way of the Lord's prophet to direct his life steps. When God commands us to go wash ourselves, we ought to do it immediately without resistance, regardless of where he tells us to go, either in fresh water or salt water. So what can we learn today? Naaman decided to listen to the man of God when the man of God told him, this is what you need to do. Naaman chose not to let his own reasoning or his rationale hinder him on the direction that he should take. And I want you to see, look at this guy's life real quick before we keep moving on. In verse number 16, he said, this is Elisha now, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. He didn't want to take no money for the healing. He wanted to give glory God, the glory to God. But look at what he said here in verse number 18. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. You know what he told Elisha? Elisha, I can't thank you enough for healing me. Thank you for allowing me to get what I needed so I can finally get cleansed from my leprosy. But Elisha, I'm here to tell you, I know you're the man of God. When I go back to work, my boss, he's not a believer in your God. My boss worships a false God. But when he puts his hand on my arm, I'm going to bow my head in respect for my boss, man. But I'm letting you know, man of God, I worship your God. I'm not going to let this outward circumstance hinder me on my inward belief in your God. That's genuine repentance. So lesson number one, when God told this man, I want you to go wash over there, this man had two options. He could listen to the man of God, or he could argue. But who did God supply to motivate him to consider the outcome? His servants. So Christian, God will put some other Christians in your life with a little bit of extra faith to help you to consider another perspective on the direction that the man of God in your life is desiring for you to do. If you just listen to what pastor's trying to tell you, perhaps watch what God will do then if you just listen. Now, turn your Bibles now to Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. The first lesson was from a man who had leprosy. Second, we're going to learn from Israel. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Here we have the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Bible tells us the word of the Lord came into him in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Turn your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 4, just a couple of pages to the right. Jeremiah 4, look with me in verse number 14. I'll give you a quick summary of what's going on. He says here in verse number 14, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from thy wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Here we have the words of Jeremiah that God gave him in Jeremiah chapter 1. earlier in Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah was a little bit hesitant because he was a child. He was a young man when God began to use him as a prophet to rebuke and reprove the nation of Israel and the inhabitants there in Jerusalem when they were on their way to church, on their way to the temple. But God reassured Jeremiah in verse number 7 through 8, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." When God tells you to speak the truth and to uphold the truth, don't worry when the other brethren are going to hide their face from you or perhaps get angry with you. I'm just telling you, when God tells you to preach this and to teach this and to uphold this truth, don't worry. Don't worry. The Lord is the one that's going to do the work. Let me give you a quick summary from Jeremiah chapter 1 through 4 of some of the main issues that Israel had before the face of Almighty God that merited for God to raise up this young prophet. Go with me to verse 16 through 17. Here's what the problem was. He said, "I will utter my judgments against them touching all their wickedness who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, speak unto them all that I have commanded thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." You know what God said? My people need to be called out for their wickedness, their backsliding against the laws, and God warned him that they would ignore him. Even though Jeremiah would be preaching as they're on their way to church, on their way to the temple, he is preaching against the inhabitants right there. God said, but they're still not going to listen. They're going to fight with you. They're going to argue with you. But what did God tell them? You go. You go, you tell them what I command you to tell them. So as you keep on going along in Jeremiah chapter 2, like I said, I'm just going to do a quick overview. He tells them to go and cry in the ears of all the people. Do you see there in verse number 2? He tells them to go and preach to all the families of the house of Israel because they've left God. They've walked after vanity and they're become vain. God reminds them of their first love. God reminds them of the joy that they once possessed in their initial response to deliverance from Egypt's bond and cruel punishments hundreds of years before. And yet after all that, after all that they observed of God's goodness and provision, they grew weary of him over time. Look in verse number 2. He says, "I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espouses when thou wentest after me in the wilderness." Can I give you some application, friend? You just got saved. You had a love for God. You had a desire for God. You were so emotionally excited because you believed that Jesus Christ died for your sins, rose again, and you believed at that moment that you were given eternal life. But as years go on, you know what happens to some of us? We forget God. We tend to grow weary of God. We tend to backslide on God. We tend to forget about all of his goodness. And God, in his mercy, rather than giving up on what he does, he pleads with you like he pleads with Israel. Look at verse number 9. "I will yet plead with you." Perhaps he puts somebody in your life, another Christian, who is trying to get you back on the right direction, who's trying to get you back in the right will of God because God knows the destruction that's going to come about in your life because of sin. But here's God's mercy. I just want to wrap that, brother and sister. Can you believe he still sought to plead with them? Some of y'all, listen now, some of y'all give others and each other for a bad attitude in the morning. Anybody out there? Can you see how good your God has been, amen? Not only to his people Israel, but even to you as a Christian child. You know that God is always seeking you out? You know that God wants to talk to you every single day? You know what God wants to do? Just like a father to his child, he wants to protect you from all this world. The darkness, the sin, the pain, suffering of what will happen when you forsake his law. Some of y'all grow weary of his laws, but why? Because the world, it doesn't demand your holiness. The world, it doesn't demand your modesty. The world, it doesn't demand your soul's loyalty to live a life that is selfless in order to seek the benefit of others around you like your Bible seeks. Well, let's keep reading in Jeremiah. As we continue to read here, when God tells him to go and proclaim these words. Go to Jeremiah chapter 4. And here's what he says in chapter 3. Yeah, go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, and let's go all the way down here. Verse number 12. Jeremiah is told, go and proclaim these words, amen, towards the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, say the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep my anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. Are you ready now? This is powerful. This made me want to cry when I read this. Listen. For I am married unto you. That's good. And I will take you one of a city and to a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with what? Knowledge and understanding. You know why God seeks to talk with you every day, fellowship with you every day? It's because he's married to you. Here is God as a faithful husband. He doesn't leave his wife. Here is God as a faithful husband. He doesn't stop talking to his wife. God, as a faithful husband, seeks his wife out every single day, every moment, because he knows the dangers that are out there in the world when his wife begins to stray from him. You know what he said earlier, church? Look at what he said there in verse number 12. Because I'm merciful. Today, friend, if you find yourself backslidden in your heart or in your mind, can I remind you something? When God just says, come back to me, he really means it. When he says, I got mercy for you, daughter and son, he really means it. But he wants you to do something. He wants you to acknowledge your sin against him. And when you acknowledge, God, I'm sorry, this is what I've done wrong, what do you want me to do about it now? When God says, I want you to wash over there, clean yourself up, and here's what I'm going to do, he wants you to trust him. So let's keep reading. What is today's message? What is today's theme? When God says, go and wash, you ought to listen. Look at what he tells him now in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, say the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. When God wants you to wash, he really wants you to clean yourself up. When you get dirty, y'all, you guys bathe yourself from the toe to the head up, amen. You make sure you're scrubbing all the cooks and crannies, amen. You make sure you get that little Q-tip and clean out your ears. You make sure you look solid. You don't got anything going on. You look in the mirror, don't you? Why? Because you want to be clean. When God says, I want you to wash yourself, daughter and son, he's waiting for you to put away those things that you've allowed to come back into your life. And then once you put them away and you get a hold of those things, then watch what he'll do. Look with me now. Verse number 4. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench you because of the evil of your doings. And then let's go later on here. In verse number 14. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness that thou mayest be saved. So point number 2, from God dealing with Israel as his people. They had committed wickedness because of their abomination of worshiping false gods. They were committing spiritual adultery against God because they forsook his law. They didn't want to listen to him. They grew weary of him because of all these outward things that were gaining their heart's attention more than him. But God said, I'm married to you. I still love you, but here's what I need you to do. I need you to go wash yourself. I need you to go cleanse yourself, and then I'll receive you back. I'll heal you. I'll do it all, but here's what I need for you to do first. That's today's theme. Let me give you some examples. Brother and sister, God has already provided for your salvation in Christ when you were saved by grace through faith. He's already delivered you from the power of darkness. Remember, I taught you that. He delivered you from the power of Satan. I already showed you that. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you the Holy Bible. He's given you a church to be a part of to help keep you growing as his child. But when you get dirty again with those sins, those secret sins, those faults and those errors, those carnal things, you know what he expects for you to do? Wash yourself, son. Wash yourself, daughter. Y'all have been given the spiritual soap of the Word of God, and all you need to do is take heed to the Word and wash away those things from your spirit by taking heed to what it said to do. Anybody out there? Let me give you now some examples. Just look up to the screen for the sake of time. Let me give you some examples. First example, daughter and son of God, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, example number one of how to wash yourself. Psalm 101, verse number 3. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Here's the Bible telling you now, son, daughter, I need you to wash yourself and cleanse yourself from watching movies that have nudity, watching television programs that have profanity, you know, listening to the old music with the cursing and all the profanity and all the worldliness. I need you to put away from your eyes that wicked desire, that sorcery, that idolatry, the false gods. Example number one of how you can cleanse yourself. I'm not trying to tell you, friend, that watching Marvel and watching DC and all those things are going to hinder your relationship with God. But if God did not entertain false gods with Israel, how much more as a Christian should you entertain Belial hanging out in your living room with your children? Because what are they doing? They're not going to help their mind to be on Christ, but it's going to be on who? The world. So example one, when he says, I need you to clean yourself now, daughter and son, what are you putting before your eyes? As soon as the Bible begins to tell you, son, don't entertain that nudity, here's the YouTube or the Facebook ad, and it inclines your intention. Get rid of that thing. Example one, Psalm 101:3. Example number two, Ephesians chapter 4. Like I said, for the sake of time, you can look at the screen. Ephesians chapter 4. What are some more examples of washing ourselves from things that we get dirty with from this world? Verse number 25. The Bible says, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Some of you guys used to lie a lot. Some of you guys lied to your spouses. Some of you guys lied to your family members, your friends, the boss man. Example number two, how to wash yourself of a dirty thing. Stop lying. Simple, but powerful. If you wash and be clean. Example number three, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. When you get upset with your spouse, with your family member, your friend, you get angry. You know what God said? You better not let your anger pass bedtime. You better take care of that before you go to sleep. That's how you can clean yourself of that dirt spiritually. If you let the water of the Word of God wash you. Are you here now? Amen. I'm going to thank you. There's someone right there. Amen. Verse number 28. Example number four. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Some of you guys used to steal things. Used to steal from cars. Used to steal from your family. Used to steal money that you found laying down your mom's purse, your dad's purse, to get some drugs, whatever that might be. You know what God said? Stop stealing. Start working with your hands. You say, Brother Carlos, I'm not stealing anymore. Then work with your hands. Don't let the government provide for your living. Don't let anyone else provide for your living when you can work. You want to steal from people who work hard, pay their taxes, to pay for your laziness, you need to work with your hands. Anybody out there, I know it's getting hot in here, amen. We need to open up some doors, amen. But I'm just giving you guys some examples. Here's the water of the Word of God. And when God says, son and daughter, I need you to wash yourself and I need you to cleanse yourself, that's what he's talking about. Letting that cleanse you on the inside so you no longer keep doing that. Anybody here? So here's the word, let it wash you. Here's the word. It exposes the dirt and the oils of sin and carnality. Let it cleanse you with its holy water. I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic Church, guys, where you have to buy that holy water for $10. You know how to get holy water? Anybody? Anybody know how to make holy water? You boil the hell out of it. Anybody out there? No, I'm just kidding. Brother Taz, he taught me that. Okay, let's keep reading. No, that wasn't funny. Okay. You know, guys, you guys wash all the time. You guys do it all the time. You wash your dirties when they get your dirt. You wash your dishes when they get dirty. You wash your fruits and vegetables before you eat them. You wash your hands and your body when it gets dirty. You guys know that you do actually do this all the time and you don't even know it. But Why do we struggle when it concerns washing ourselves spiritually with spiritual water? You know why? Because it doesn't feel good to be corrected by God inwardly. Those dirty dishes, they don't condemn you. The dirty food, it doesn't condemn you. But sin condemns you. And you know what God said? Wash. Cleanse yourself, daughter and son, and then he'll look your way and receive you unto himself in that fellowship. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 6. So now, for the sake of time, look up to the screen. I'm going to read you some examples for those of you who want to learn now of asking God to wash you and then responding to when he tells you, wash yourself. Look up to the screen now. First one, Psalm 26, 6. These are great verses to memorize for your meditation throughout the week. Psalm 26, verse number 6. What are some examples, Brother Carlos, that I can get from the Bible on washing? Psalm 26, 6. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. I'll clean me up, Lord. I'll make sure these hands are clean before I come back to church. Woo! Before I hang out again with the brothers. Woo! All right. Psalm 51. Next verse to encourage you. Psalm 51. These are good verses on cleaning, if you will, washing yourself. Psalm 51, verse number 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Asking God, God, wash me. Wash me from these dirty oils and things that make me dirty on the inside. God, wash me, please. Wash me. Isaiah 1:16. This is really good. Isaiah 1:16. Remember how he told Jeremiah to tell him over there in Jeremiah chapter 4? Here's God telling Isaiah the very same thing. Are you ready? Look here now. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. So you know how God will accept you in return? When you wash yourself. You take care of it yourself. Why? Because as a Christian, he's already provided for you everything you need to do it. He's given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you the Holy Bible. He's given you a church. He's given you all of these Christian materials so you can learn how to put away from you evil. What you got to do now is go wash and clean yourself, daughter and son. Let's keep going. As we're nearing our end of the message, let me remind you of one more doctrinal truth. Turn your Bible with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. How many of you guys still love the Bible? Bible's still good, amen? All right. 1 Peter chapter number 2. How many of you guys are glad to be born-again Christians? Anybody here? Raise your hand. Anybody here? Okay. Let me remind you of one more doctrinal truth. The Bible says that when you got saved, God did some great operations. Last Friday, me, Brother Joe, Sister Mary, we were learning that together as a family. The operation of God, remember that? He delivered us the power of darkness. He translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I mean, guys, God did some great things, even though you didn't really feel it. You know, the heebie-jeebies, the goosebumps. He did it. One of those things that he made you is a priest. And as a priest of the body of Christ, he expects you to keep yourself clean when you go into the sanctuary to offer him some service. Listen up now. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, you know, when you have malicious thoughts about people in your heart, sometimes you wish that others get what they got that you think they deserve. That's when you're malicious. When you want evil to come upon someone else, when you want judgment to come upon someone else, God said, daughter and son, you better lay that thing aside. What about guile? You know, hypocrisies, lies, put that on the side. Hypocrisies, woo! He wants you to put that on the side. Envies, he wants you to put that aside. All evil speakings. So as his daughter and son by faith in Jesus, how do you clean yourself? Put it aside. Put it off from you, friend. Stop entertaining it and stop doing it. That's how you clean yourself. Because the Word of God is exposing that area in your life, and then you see yourself doing it. So no, you let the Word of God have an effect in your heart. Man, I'm going to stop speaking evil about that person. I'm going to stop living as a hypocrite. I'm going to stop being malicious against this individual. Verse number 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So friend, so far, God has told you, the word of God will wash you when you let it clean you. But now the word of God will strengthen you so that way you can keep growing. If you are not desiring the sincere milk of the word, just like your baby, for its nutrients from you mothers out there, and when you were young, obviously, all of us, we won't grow properly. So friend, you need more Bible. That's all. I'll just leave it there. Verse number 3. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So some of y'all raised your hand. You said, I'm a Christian, Brother Carlos. I believe Jesus. All right now. Verse number 4. To him coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. Look at now verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I want you to see now, according to the Bible, you, as a born-again Christian, are a part of the priesthood of believers. You are a priest right now. If you're a husband, even more so, you're responsible for your wife, your family. You're the priest of that household, amen? But even if your husband is MIA, you're a priest. So now, we're going to let the Bible define for us from the Old Testament, combine it with the New, on some last-minute examples, on how God expects for us to wash ourselves, keep ourselves clean. Turn your Bible now all the way to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, Old Testament. Verse number 9. In this context, church, right before God came down from heaven to meet Moses on Sinai, to give him the law, he told Moses to get the people ready. Look at what he says here in verse number 9. The Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. The Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Now listen, verse 10. And wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. What did God tell Moses, tell the people? Y'all better get ready. I am coming down. Moses, tell all the ladies, y'all better wash your clothes. Tell all the men, y'all better get your clothes washed up. I am coming down. Get ready. Sanctify yourself. So now I want you to think about this in the back of your mind. Washing. Sanctification. Washing. Getting myself ready to receive from God. Okay? He was about to reveal to them his person in great power, glory, through the thundering. Remember that? The clouds, the darkness, the greatness, the honest, so that they can believe his word. Go back there. You can read that in verse number 9. In Exodus chapter 29, let's go a little bit further. He had given them the law. They heard his voice. They told Moses, just tell God whatever he says, we'll do. Moses instituted this thing called the priesthood. And that would be by his brother Aaron. This is what we call the Levitical priesthood. And before they could serve God on behalf of the people, and before they could serve God in the tabernacle, you know what they needed to do? They needed to wash themselves. Go with me now to verse number 4. The Bible says in Exodus 29, verse 4, And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put upon Aaron the coat, the robe of the ephod, the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. You know what God told Moses? I want you to wash your brother. And before he starts serving me over here, I want you to make sure he's clean. And then put on the priesthood, the royal apparel, and all that stuff of the priesthood apparel. So now you guys can think with me. New Testament, 1 Peter 2. I am a part of the priesthood of believers as a born-again Christian of the body of Christ. Old Testament, God, Israel, Levites, they were required to wash themselves before they would serve God in the tabernacle. What am I trying to bring to your application? You need to wash yourself. You need to get yourself clean. I know we don't really think about it like this throughout the week, but before you come to church on Sunday, you know what you should try to do? Make sure you're clean. I know some of y'all don't shower. That's all right. We still love you. I don't have any deodorant to give y'all. Amen. It's all right. Got some cologne out there. Amen. But make sure you wash yourself here on the inside. Before you come to church, ask God, God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for this thing in my heart that's against this individual. God, forgive me for whatever I'm coming short of your glory, God, because I know when I go into that church, that sanctuary, you want me to be focused on you and your people. And God, if I am dirty, I know that I cannot adequately get that from you to give to them and vice versa. I need to come to church clean. Exodus chapter 30, look at the next chapter. I'm just giving you application, that's all. Look at verse 17, Exodus 30, we're almost done. Verse number 17. The Lord speaking to Moses, saying, thou shalt make also a laver of brass, his feet also of brass to wash withal. Thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they what? Die not. Now that's hardcore, all right? Thank God we're not a Jew under the law, amen? We're spiritual priests. How many of you guys know that y'all weren't taken out every time you sinned before you came to church? Anybody out there? All right, so that's how we rightly divide the Bible, amen? And when they come near to the altar to minister to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. But guys, can you see now how serious God wants that priest to be clean? Hey, Moses, make that little bath between this place and my place. Before that priest come over here, they need to wash themselves. They better make sure, because if not, I'm going to take them out. Isn't that wild? Here we have the requirements for the priesthood before they would serve God and before they would serve others, if you will. A couple more on this topic of the priesthood. I'm just glad that I'm not, an Old Testament Hebrew Levite underneath the law, because God would take me out, man, if I didn't put that head and shoulders, amen, and wash myself, amen. Leviticus chapter 22, or Old Spice, whatever you guys are using out there. Leviticus chapter 22. We're almost done. Read with me now, verse number 1 through 6. Leviticus 22, verse 1 through 6. The Bible says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord. So Moses, I need you to make sure that these priests, they're not going to use their bodies. They're not going to use the articles. They're not going to use these tools that are meant for me only. And then to entertain them with the gods out there. Make sure, Moses, that when they come to church, they don't have two gods on their heart. They don't got Superman over here. They don't got Spider-Man over there. They don't got transgender man over there. Black man over here. White man over here. Just make sure they don't got any of these things that are going to profane me with those things out there. Make sure that they are clean. Make sure that they are separate unto me. So that way, when they come here, I am the focus and the attention of their service. Anybody out there? Verse 3, say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things, which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord. You know, they separate it for him. Having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. That's hardcore. If they came in there with uncleanness, God said, I will take you out. Verse 4, what man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper or hath a running issue, you know, some sickness, he shall not eat of the holy things until he be clean. Whoso touches anything that is unclean by the dead or a man whose seed goeth from him, etc., etc. So I just wanted you to see, guys, God has given him some laws concerning uncleanness, making sure that they are clean before they serve me and the people. That's what I just want you to understand. Look at verse 6. The soul which hath touched any such thing shall be unclean until even, and shall not eat of the holy things unless he wash his flesh with water. You say, Brother Carlos, what can I learn today as a Christian? Well, thank God, you are not underneath these laws where God will take you out, because pretty much all of us be dead by now. Amen. I'm not sure about you, but I've sinned before I've come to church on a Sunday. Amen. So, but we're spiritual priests now. Let's get some lessons. Let me leave you with some closing thoughts. Are we expected to cleanse ourselves just like Israel was before God when the preacher preached for them to turn from and then to turn to him? Yes. Turn your Bible now to 2 Corinthians 7. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Are you responsible, Christian brother and sister to likewise make sure that when you come to church to be separate, sanctified, presenting yourself before God, are you expected to also likewise make sure you're clean? Yes. Look at 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. The Bible says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from what? All filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting wholeness in the fear of God. So guys, not only am I expected by God to make sure that my body is right on the outside, but that my heart is right on the inside. I'm expected by God to put away from myself all these things that polluted me throughout the week, whether they were the gods over here, the lust over there, the desires over there, but remember also the anger, the bitterness, the wrath, the unforgiveness. Notice what it says, flesh and spirit. You know what you need to do, daughter and son? You need to clean yourself. You need to go wash yourself. You need to go take a shower. Look at James chapter 4. Another example, James 4. Bible says here in James 4, verse number 7, a lot of us like to quote these verses, and they're really good. I'll read verse 6. Some of you guys know this by heart. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You've heard it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. You heard that. Verse 8, you remember, draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. But there's a context. Are you ready now? Listen. What does he say? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So I'm just telling you now, guys. I'm just reading you the Bible. I want God to draw near to me, Brother Carlos, and I want to draw near to him. But God sees in your heart, daughter and son, you're unclean. Your hands are dirty. Your heart is dirty. Eyes are dirty. You got some God worship over here. You got some idolatry over here. You got some practices over there. You got some anger in here. You got some bitterness in there. You got everything that is not of him in there. And you want to come to church and you want God to do all the miracle, all the healing. I just want to feel the Holy Spirit of God. I just want to feel it. You know what he told you? Hey, why don't you do this, daughter and son? Why don't you just go back there, take a shower? Why don't you just go back over in the bathroom? Why don't you just go wash your hands? You know, get that hand sanitizer on there. And then I will draw near to you. Isn't that what he's saying there? Come on, guys, let's be honest. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. So, friend, what's the message today? When God says wash, go wash. If he says over here in this water, son, do it. If he says over there in that water, daughter, do it. Don't argue with God. Just listen to him. He knows what's right. He knows how to protect your heart and your mind from his laws. Don't grow weary of him. Receive him. He's the only one, and he's the only thing that can keep your heart and your mind in the right place. Last two verses will come to a close. Could it be then, brother and sister? Could it be that before he looks your way, could it be that he has been simply waiting for you to cleanse yourself from uncleanness that you've gotten? Could it be that he's been waiting for you to cleanse yourself from those sins, the habits, the world around your life? Could it be, brother and sister, before the peace comes, before the healing comes, before the deliverance, could it be that he is waiting for you to cleanse yourself from your dirty self? Son and daughter, you got dirty again. You defiled yourself again. So you know what the Lord wants you to do? Go wash yourself. Go take a spiritual bath with the Word of God. Let it cleanse you. Get that spiritual soap from 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Psalms. Get all that spiritual soap. It's concentrated. By the way, this Bible, it's 100% concentrated. Anybody out there? It ain't watered down. Amen. Stop trying to cleanse yourself with your soap. Stop trying to use your carnal soap with your carnal habits and your carnal friends. Turn from that and receive the Word that will cleanse you from it. Last two verses, and we're coming to a close. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, and then Isaiah 66, verse number 2. Ephesians 5, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 5, last two verses. Let's turn there together. And then Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 5. I'm pretty sure, friend, that when your baby gets dirty, for those of you who are parents, you don't leave them dirty because it's wrong. You know that they could get some diseases over time. They get sick if you don't clean them from the dirtiness. How much more should you take care of your own spirit? How much more should you make sure that you clean yourself from all that you've entertained throughout the week in their mind? How much more should you let God cleanse you when you get dirty? Look at with me now, Ephesians 5, verse number 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands in everything, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now listen, that he might sanctify and what? Cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Quick nugget lesson. In the marriage, if you're wanting more godliness, you need more Bible. You want Jesus Christ to keep sanctifying your marriage. You want Jesus Christ to keep sanctifying your children. You want Jesus Christ to keep helping you grow as his son or daughter. You need to let Jesus Christ clean you. You need to let his water wash you. Last verse, Isaiah 66. Let's go there now. Isaiah 66. And then perhaps that's when he'll look your way. Look with me now. Isaiah 66. Coming to a close. The Bible says here in Isaiah 66, verse number 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Now, this is God. If there's anybody's attention that I want today, it's not my spouse. I love Katie. I want God. I want God to look to me. I want God to hear me. I want God to heal me. But now listen, you want God to do that. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my what? Word. So there you have it. Daughter and son, you got dirty. You got dirty with the world again. You got dirty with the anger in there, the spirit in there, all the emotional bitterness, all that going on. But if you want me to look your way, daughter and son, I need you to go and take a shower. I need you to go shower yourself with this book. I need you to let my thoughts clean your thoughts. I need you to let my desires clean your desires. I need you to let my mind clean your mind with all that you have been thinking on, with what I've already said. And the more that you cleanse yourself with this book in your heart and in your mind and in all that, in all those areas of your life, you will be cleansed. You will be sanctified. And then, you know what God promised James 4? He'll draw nigh to you. Isaiah 66, he'll look to you because you listen. You did what you did. You might have complained a little bit. Why do I got to do it over here, God? Why do I got to do it like that, God? You know what it says? Why do I have to be the one? You look to what Naaman did, guys. He ended up doing it, and he was healed. So today, friend, the answer is, it's the Word of God. It's always been. When God begins to expose to you those areas in your life that are dirty, he's already given you the answer. He just needs for you to go take a spiritual shower. And then once you let God cleanse you, you will see the result of what that Word of God can produce in you, which is joy, love, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. Amen. So guys, if you find yourself dirty today, we don't have an altar, as you guys know, but you have an altar in your heart. If this message spoke to your heart today, I'm not going to put you on blast. I'm going to say, raise your hand. I want to call you out. No, I just want you to pray with me for these next couple of minutes. And if that's you today, you say, Brother Carlos, man, I need to take a shower again. Brother Carlos, I need to take that spiritual shower. I've been dirty. I got dirty. I haven't gotten clean yet. If that's you today, I want you to pray with me now. And I want to remind you of what God told Jeremiah to tell the people. He told them that he loved them. He told them that he's married to them. He told them that he is pleading with them. He loves them. And I just want to remind you that too, that church, he still loves you. He ain't never going to leave you nor forsake you. But he's pleading with you. If you just trust him today, friend, and if you just do it according to his word, that's when he'll draw near. That's when you'll see the victory come in your life. Let's pray together now, church. Father, I thank you so much for this message. Lord, I know it spoke to some of the hearts that are here today. Lord, for those of us that are here together as a family, if any of your children today, God, they got dirty again. They got dirty because of the world. They got dirty because they got weary. They've grown weary of your word. They haven't been reading your Bible in a minute. They have been coming to church. They have been praying. They really haven't been doing what you told them to do, Lord. But today, you've told them you still love them. You reminded them through the scriptures that you're married to them. You reminded them today from the scriptures that you love them. But you told them what they need to do, God. Some of your children, they need to go take a bath. They need to take a spiritual bath with the Bible. And they need to now respond to it in obedience to cleanse those areas out of their life so they can find that healing they need. And then God, as you said, you'll draw near to them. So Father, if there are any of your sons or daughters that are under my voice that are struggling today, that have some dirty things going on, that have some things, God, that have been a weight and a hindrance that they haven't cleansed themselves from yet, may today be the day that they spend time with you in the Word of God in prayer tonight, and that they would wash themselves. They would open up the scriptures, and that they would read it, and that they would respond to it in faith. If there are any bitter hearts today, God, that they would ask you to forgive, and they will do it no more. If there is anybody here that's been lying, stealing, having anything wicked before their eyes, just like we learned today, may they put it away. If there's anybody here today, Lord, that has hypocrisy, guile, those things that we learned in 1 Peter 2, may they lay it aside just like you told them. And Lord, you promised them that you would draw near to them. You'd give them that heart, that love, that joy that they need. God, thank you for being so merciful. So Father, I just pray that you would strengthen your children now that needed this message. I know I needed it. You want us to be clean. And you're the one that told us to do it ourselves. That blows my mind away, God. Father, thank you that you gave us the strength and the ability to clean ourselves from the dirtiness of this world in our heart. Father, help us now to do it as we move on the rest of our day. May we meditate upon this message. We pray for restoration. We pray for healing where it's needed. And we pray for cleansing with the Word of God. We thank you now, and we pray for a good rest of our day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. Thank you. If y'all need some prayer or fellowship, we are here for you. Amen. Let's go ahead and enjoy the rest of our day. Amen. The Lord bless you.